If you got your Bibles, I want you to open them with me to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Amen. Amen. Say amen when you get there. Amen. Ed's fast this morning. I said, go to Jeremiah chapter 1. He said, amen. He already knew. Hey, real quick, guys. I seen a lot of you guys coming in after we had already taken up our offering this morning. I know a lot of you guys, if you come in, we started taking up our offering at the beginning of the service. And if you missed that, just know, guys, that there is a box right there on that table. If you come in the door, feel free to drop your gift in there. Or as you leave, if you miss the buckets, feel free to drop your gift in there. Amen? Amen. We want to make sure that we're still honoring that for you guys. Praise God. Also, I want to say there's a couple things going on out there at the tables. If you're interested in some of the events we got going on, if you missed those this morning at the beginning of service, we do have some bowling events going on for the middle school and some different things out there for the men as well, okay? Amen? Amen. Well, hey, I ain't going to preach long this morning. Can I have just a few minutes of your time? It is hot in here, Mr. Stuck, I'm telling you. I ain't going to preach long, 30 minutes. Is that all right? All right, keep on. I'll go 40. I'm just kidding. In Jesus' name. It's way too hot. It's been a long week. How many of y'all know it's been a long week? My daughter just turned 16. Praise the Lord. It's been I got about 15 little kids at my house sleeping right now. So they kept me up all night. So I'm not going to preach long today. I'm just kidding. They didn't keep me up all night. They know better. Hey, open your Bibles with me to Jeremiah chapter 1. Say amen. Amen. Come on, can we give it up for Brad Jordan right here this morning? Come on. Man, he hit a grand slam last week. Thank you, Brad. Come on. Come on. How many of y'all think he should do that more often? Me too. Praise the Lord. Let's go. Let's go. Well, you know what? Brad did a fantastic job last week. Thank you, Brad. I appreciate you. You know, Brad had talked about procrastination last week. Amen. I think it's probably something that we all, you know, tend to struggle with. He made a very, very profound statement last week. Okay? And see if you remember this. He made a statement. He said, stop procrastinating what God has called you to do. Four of you remember that? Do y'all remember? He says, stop procrastinating what God has called you to do. So how do we know what God has called us to do? Thanks for asking. How do we know? How do you know what your calling is? How do we know? Do you know everyone has a kingdom assignment? No, I said, do you know that every one of you have an assignment? Thank you. If you don't know that you have an assignment, when this service is over, you're going to. Amen. Every one of you have a heavenly kingdom assignment. Everybody say, how do we know? Everybody say, how do we know? I'm going to tell you, the Bible gives us clues. Jeremiah chapter 1. Y'all ready? Jeremiah chapter 1. Everybody say, we're ready. Come on. If you have your Bible and you open it up to Jeremiah chapter 1, the very first thing it says right here, it says a prophet is called. Amen? Maybe yours don't. Mine, the New King James does. I'm not sure what they... But it says that a prophet is called. God is literally calling Jeremiah right here. Amen? He says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying... Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, Jeremiah, I sanctified you. Amen? He said, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Finding your assignment in the kingdom. Everybody say, how do we know? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that as you called Jeremiah, you called each and every one of us. So, Father, we pray right now, God, that we learn what our assignment is today, God, that we can understand and, Father, just have a few more clues of what we're to do, God. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone agreed and said, Finding your assignment in the kingdom. Do you understand that you are valued? Do you know that you are treasured? Say amen, church. Do you know that you are valued and that you are treasured? Before I formed you, if it was true for Jeremiah, it's true for you, church. Do you hear me? He said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, if it was true for Jeremiah, it was true for you. God says, I'm not talking in this scripture about just talking to Jeremiah, but it is an insight into every single one of us. Amen? Amen. It is an insight for every single one of us. Before you were in your mother's womb, he said, I knew you. I called you to an assignment. Everyone heard of predestined? Predestination? You are predestined? He said, before you were in your mother's womb. Amen. I called you to an assignment. I knew you. I had a plan for your life. Listen to me, youngins. I had a purpose for your life before you were ever in your mother's womb. Amen. 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 How many of you believe that this morning? How many of you believe that this morning? Four or five of you, okay? Listen, he has an assignment on your life. I want every one of your hands up. I'm going to ask that question at the end again. How many of you believe that this morning? Amen. This morning, I'm not talking about my assignment. Amen. I'm not talking about my assignment because we're really good at believing in other people's calling. We're really good at believing that other people are anointed. We're really good at believing that God has a purpose for your life, but not mine. I'm really good at believing that, like, come on, somebody. We're really good at believing in somebody else's. Amen? We're really good in other people's assignment. We're really good at calling out other people's great potential. But we just don't see it in ourselves. Come on, somebody. We call it humility. When in reality, sometimes it's the spirit of intimidation and fear that makes us feel unimportant. We call it humility. But in reality, it's intimidation and fear that make us feel unimportant. I'm really good at seeing the great potential in other people. Come on, church. We call it humility. It's false humility is what it is. He said you're treasured, church, not just Jeremiah. He said you're valued. I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. And you have to understand, listen. I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. And if you understand what he says right here in verse 4, look what he said right here. He said, the word of the Lord came to me. I knew you, Jeremiah, listen to me carefully. I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. He said, and then the word of the Lord came to me saying, the first thing that you got to know about finding your assignment, and this is very significant, that God can talk to you. Thank you for that rousing response. The first thing you really have to understand, church, and you got to grab a hold of this, is that God can talk to you. We need to understand that God is still talking, God is still calling people, God is still speaking to people, and you have no value unless he tells you the things that you're to dream, that he wants you to dream. And the way he does that is he speaks to you. Amen. God is still talking to you. God is still talking to me. The way he does it, he will speak through the services. He will speak through the preachers. He will speak through circumstances. But you got to learn how to hear God's voice. He'll speak through the music. I hope he speaks through me sometimes. But you got to learn, listen to me carefully. You got to learn how to hear God's voice. Amen. And that's how he puts dreams in you, is he will speak to you. What I say means nothing. She believes that. What I say means nothing. What others say about you means nothing. What God says about you is what really matters, church. Amen. Come on. Be very sensitive. Listen to me. Be very sensitive to what God says about you. You must hear God. You know, it's amazing to me, people, they'll say, well, I'm going to take a course on how to hear God's voice. Listen, I never had to take a course on look. You know when my mama calls me? I never had to take a course on how to hear my mama's voice and know if it was my mama calling me or not. Amen. Come on, somebody. When my mama calls me and I answer the telephone, I promise you, I recognize her voice. I know my mama's voice. And when you know him, you know his voice. Amen. It's that simple. It's that simple. And you need to understand that's that important, church. That you got to be able to hear his voice. The first thing he says about the purpose, about the plan, about the assignment of God on your life is, number one, the word of the Lord came to me. If you can't hear his voice, how is the word of the Lord going to come to you? Let God's voice be the loudest voice. Amen. There's a word for your life. Listen for it. Come on, somebody. I said, there's a word for your life. You need to listen for it. There's a plan that God talks, and he's the one that thought up a mouth. He's the one that thought up a tongue. Come on, somebody. He's the one that thought up a voice box. God is the one who thought up speaking and talking, and he knows how to talk to you. Say amen. He knows how to talk to you, church. And then he said this. Look at this. Jeremiah 1:5. He said, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before your mama ever even saw you. You don't even get it. Before your mama ever saw you. Before the baby ever pulled you out, the doctor ever pulled you out, or before anybody ever saw you, he said, I knew you before you ever existed. I had a plan. I had already called you. He said, before you were born, I knew you. Do y'all believe that this morning? Four of you. Before you were born, he said, I already knew you. Amen. He said, before you were born, I sanctified you. You see that? Before you were born, he said, I sanctified you, not only called you. This is important, church. Not only before you were in your mother's womb did I know you, right? Not only did I call you, he said, but before you were born, I also sanctified you. It's important. That means he set you apart. Come on, church. I said he set you apart for his purpose. Come on, somebody. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I separated you. I set you aside for my purpose. Sanctified, that word means to be made holy, to be set apart. You're a walking reward for someone. I said you are a walking reward for someone. Amen. I sanctified you. I set you apart for my purpose. That means that you are a walking reward for somebody. Amen. And then watch this. He said in verse 5, he also said, I ordained you. I ordained you. You see that? I knew you. I called you. I set you apart. And then I designed you. I ordained you, I designed you, I scheduled you into the world. I designed you in the designing room of heaven. And if you don't have something that you think you need to make you feel fulfilled, you need to understand, church, that he designed you. Amen? You didn't make yourself. I said, you didn't make yourself. And if you're not able to do something, quit trying to be something you're not. Come on. Quit trying to be something you're not. Take the will of God as how he designed you. He designed you, church. You have an assignment on your life. Turn to somebody and say, you have an assignment on your life. Turn to somebody and say, you have an assignment on your life. Come on. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. Here's a major point. You don't decide it. You discover it. You don't decide it. Church, listen to me very carefully. You don't decide it. You discover it. A true assignment from God will showcase your inferiority. A true assignment from God will showcase your limitations. Trust me. It will be bigger than you are, and it will make you feel impossible of achieving it. I'm just telling you. A true assignment from God is bigger than you. A true assignment for God will make you feel incapable of achieving it. I'm telling you, a true assignment, when you know, I remember when God called me to preach. I remember when God called me to preach. This whole chapter right here, this Jeremiah chapter 1, it just felt like this. I knew that the Lord had spoke to me. I knew the word of the Lord had come to me. Come on, church. I knew that he had called me to do this. I knew that he had spoke to me. I heard him come and tell me, you're called, you're going to preach to the multitude, you're going to do this, you're going to do this, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, all this stuff. Thank you. But I was like, this is crazy. This is crazy, y'all. Who am I? Why me? I'm an idiot. I'm just being honest. I'm an idiot. All of that stuff you tell yourself, right? Amen. But listen, I think there's something powerful. There's something strong about when you get a hold of this verse. And I want to show this to you in Jeremiah 1:8, this whole chapter. But it says, do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you. Y'all have no idea. I would literally have, like, almost these anxiety attacks and stuff. Like, I'm just being honest. I would puke. I still do sometimes. So, you know, I'm just showing you something here in my life. But I would have all these anxiety attacks. I get nervous, throw up and stuff like that. I'll get nervous. I get sick. I get worried because y'all are crazy. Thank you. You know, there's a difference between just anxiety, you know, about speaking in front of a bunch of people and just being tormented with fear and intimidation. Does that make sense? There's a difference between having anxiety about speaking in front of people. I've never done this before. There's a big difference between being eat up with fear and intimidation. And I read this verse, y'all. Do not be afraid of their faces. I love that. That'll set you free. It'll set you free. I ain't afraid of none of y'all's faces. I ain't afraid of none of y'all's faces. I ain't afraid of your dirty little looks. I ain't afraid of y'all sucking on your teeth. Ain't afraid of the condescending looks. Hey, don't be afraid of their dirty sneers. Come on, church. Don't be afraid of their dirty sneers. Don't be afraid of their Facebooks. Come on, somebody. Don't be afraid of the faces of the cowards that attack you. Amen? Don't be afraid of their faces. And many times, I've preached in front of a whole lot of people. Like when you go to conferences, you do different things. You preach in hundreds and hundreds of people all the time. Listen, but I want to tell you, you pray. You do everything you can. I want to show you something. There's four things that you do to preach a message. First of all, you study yourself full. You study yourself full. Watch this. You get everything you can get of the word of God on that subject. You study yourself full as much as you can. You get as much as you can from anybody. You get as much as you can from everybody you can on that subject. You get it in your spirit. You study yourself full, church. Amen. Amen. Then number two, you pray yourself hot. I'm serious. You pray yourself hot because you study to get a message or a sermon, but you pray to get a message from God. You study to get a message or a sermon, but you pray to get a message from God. You pray yourself hot, church. Pray yourself hot. You got to pray. It's not that, listen, we've had enough talks. We need some prayer and some power behind these talks. We've had enough talks. Amen. So you study yourself full. You pray yourself hot, church. Watch this. Then you think yourself through. You think it through. You think that message through. Where's it going? How's it going to end? Do I have any life illustrations that I can put in here to make it applicable to people's lives? Think it through. Did anything happen with my kids? Have I ever experienced this point in my life? I don't even know why I'm telling y'all this. I must be getting some of y'all ready to preach. Come on. I must be getting some of y'all ready to preach. Let's do it. But listen, that's how you do it. Amen. That's how you do it. You study yourself full. You pray yourself hot. Come on, somebody. You think it through. Think it through. Think all this stuff through. And then lastly, I want to show you, this is the big point. And this is the big point that has to do with don't worry about their faces. Okay? This is a point that I'm telling you. After you study yourself full, you pray yourself hot, you think it through, you get all you can. The last thing you got to do after you've done everything that you can do, guys, listen to me very carefully, you just set yourself free. Just set yourself free. That's why I'm not worried about y'all's faces. Because you just set yourself free. You know you've done everything you can do. Are y'all getting anything out of this morning? I don't know if you are. I'm liking this little sermon. Listen, just set yourself free. Relax. Church, listen to me. Get up, go out, and do what God has called you to do. Amen? And don't worry about their faces. Don't worry about the people. They might be making ugly faces because they had bad Chinese food for dinner or something. It might not even be your sermon. It might be your sermon. You don't know. Amen. You get up and do what God has called you to do, and you don't worry about their people's faces. It's just a face. Turn to somebody and say, it's just a face. It's just a face. How people look at you is just a face. Come on, church. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. How people accept you, it's just a face. Look, he said in verse 8, he said, for I am with you. God said, don't worry about their faces. For I am with you. Amen. Can I tell you something? I love that. You know, you're not in this by yourself. You're not doing this by yourself. You're not called by yourself. He said, for I am with you. You didn't call you by your... Come on, church. You didn't call you. Amen. You're not in this by yourself. Don't be worried about their faces, for I am with you. Then he said this in verse 9. Look at this. He said, the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. He said, I've put my words in you, Jeremiah. Come on. He said, I've put my words in you. So here's another thing about your assignment. Your mouth is going to play a major part in your assignment. Your mouth is going to play a major part in your assignment, church. If God told him he had an assignment, listen to me, it was going to require him to go places and to go to different nations of the world, and then he gives him another huge insight that your mouth is going to play a major part in your assignment. Amen. Your ability to speak. He touched my mouth. Amen. There are two kinds of communication. What you tell others and what you tell you. There's two kinds of communication, church. What you tell others and what you tell you. Some people talk good to others and talk bad to themselves. Amen. You talk real good to other people and you talk bad to yourselves. They're kind to others and they curse themselves. You're stupid. You idiot. You're ugly. You're no good. You're never going to amount to nothing. You can't do this. You're a loser. But they'll talk real kind. They'll communicate outwardly good to other people. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You communicate real good outwardly to other people. Amen. But you talk horrible to yourself. We talk horrible to ourselves. But God touched his mouth. Your future is not good until God touches your mouth. I said, your future is not good until God touches your mouth. You got to understand that. And suddenly, he begins to prepare you. God begins to prepare you when he touches your mouth. Your future is not good when you say, come on now, let no corrupt communication. Come on, you got to, does this make sense? Your future, until God starts touching your mouth. Amen. When he touches your mouth, your preparation determines your performance. I said, your preparation determines your performance. If you don't prepare, then you won't perform well. If you don't prepare, you won't perform well. Amen. Prepare yourself for your assignment. Find what you truly love and build your life around it. Find what you truly love, church, and build your life around that. You do what you love to do. Listen carefully. Sameness creates comfort, but difference creates reward. Sameness, you find what you love to do and build your life around it because sameness creates comfort, difference creates reward. We want to be like everybody else. That's comfortable. But it's when you find that uniqueness that God has given you that you begin to connect to the rewards of life. Amen? If you're just like everybody else and you're just into everything else that everybody else is into, guess what? The field just got really broad. If you're into the same thing and doing the same thing that everybody else is doing, the field just got really broad. Amen? But the more unique, and guys, we're afraid of being different, ain't we? Ain't we afraid? No. We're afraid of being different. But it's the uniqueness that is your niche. Did you hear me? It is your uniqueness that is your niche. Don't try to be like everybody else. Amen. Just be what God made you to be and be that full of the Holy Spirit. Discover your distinction. Church, listen, identify your difference. Amen? Discover your distinction and identify your difference. So find what you love. Find what you love. I love church. Amen? I love preaching. I love ministry. I love it. Find what you do and you know what? I want to put it to you this way. Let me say this. If everybody, no matter what you do, if you're a janitor or a brain surgeon, and everybody made $10 an hour, come on. No matter what you do, if every job paid 10 bucks an hour for you, now think about it. Don't matter if you're a dog catcher or a PhD at Harvard. Everything pays 10 bucks an hour. What would you be doing? What would you choose to do? I'll be doing what I'm doing right now. Because it's what God's called me to do. It's what I love to do. It's my assignment. It's what God put in my heart. It's what I do. You got to find what you love to do and you don't do it for money. Listen to me. Nothing wrong with being successful, particularly if you're a business person and you got a big dream, you know, of making lots of money, especially if you're a kingdom-minded business person. Come on. God can really bless that, but listen. My point is, if you get into it solely for money, and you do something solely for money, 99% of the time it's going to fail. But if there's something in you that loves the reward of whatever that is, whatever ultimately that is that gets that to you, that reward, because listen, you talk to people who have done great things. Amen. They've done great things. And it seems like there was something else. It wasn't all about the money, even though the money came. Now, following me, it was something else. You talk to anybody, and they'll tell you, yeah, but it wasn't. It was something else, and the money came. God blessed them. Amen. So what you love, find what you love and build your life around it. That's a clue to your assignment, church. Find what you love. Here we go. Number two, what you hate is another clue. Find what you hate. Find what you hate. What angers you? What ticks you off? You cannot correct what you're unwilling to confront. You cannot correct what you're unwilling to confront. Amen? What drives you? What makes you mad? I'm not talking about coming home and putting your fist in the wall. I'm not talking about uncontrolled anger. I'm talking about what drives you. What makes you angry? Anything permitted will increase in your life. You cannot correct what you're unwilling to confront, and anything permitted will increase. Anything permitted will increase in your life. Anything permitted in your life is going to increase. What you tolerate, you cannot change. What you're comfortable with will never change, no matter how bad you wish it would. I want to change. I can't do this no more. I can't do this no more. I don't want to do it. It'll never change. It'll never change. What you permit only increases. Listen to me. Until you get to the point that you say, I cannot stand this any longer. I'm done. That's when change comes, church. When you get to the point, because what you permit will only increase, you get to the point and you say, I cannot tolerate this any longer, that's when change comes. Your anger is important. Your anger is important. An angry man is an awakened man. I said an angry man is an awakened man. What gets you passionate? What gets you stirred up, church? That's another clue to your assignment. What is it that gets you, come on, are you... What gets you fired up? Everybody say, how do we know? Well, lastly, find what grieves you. What makes you cry? Do you know caring qualifies you to be an instrument of healing? I said caring qualifies you to be an instrument of healing. What grieves you? What makes you passionate? What gets you, what makes you cry? What makes you emotional? See, that's another way we know what our assignment is. What troubles you? What is it that gets you? Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about? What is it that moves you? What is it? That's a huge one. That's a huge one. What gets your heart stirred up? Remember Nehemiah? The Bible says in Nehemiah 1 that he sat down and wept. Look at this. He has sat down and wept. When he heard that the city was in ruins, he had heard that the walls of Jerusalem had been torn down. Nehemiah was not a professional wall builder. He had never built a wall in his entire life, church. He had never built a wall in his entire life. But something grieved him. Something moved him. And his calling and his assignment came out of his emotions. He sat down and he wept. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Because what grieves you? What is it that moves you? He never built the wall. The Bible said that he was grieved. And he said, you know what? I got to do something about it. That's all. He found his assignment and his calling because of his emotions. Because of his emotions. He said, man, I got to do something. He was stirred to action. Amen. That was his assignment. Your calling, lastly, listen. It will require hours of seasons and great preparation. Amen. It will require hours of and seasons of great preparation. Moses spent 40 years in the palace finding out how to be somebody. Then he spent 40 years in the desert finding out how to be nobody. And then he spent 40 years leading the children of God when he found out what God can do with a somebody that's willing to become a nobody for his sake. What God can do with a somebody who's willing to become a nobody for his sake. That's a total of 80 years of preparation for 40 years of deliverance ministry. Am I boring you? Am I boring you yet? Jesus Christ and his assignment required 30 years of preparation. for 3.5 years of ministry. And we want to know, why are you not a prophet? I want to be a prophet. Should be a prophet right away. It took Jesus 30 years before he ever preached a sermon, before he ever healed a sick person. It took him 30 years of preparation for 3.5 years of ministry. For 30 years before he ever did anything, he sat there and learned the people that he would minister to. For 30 years. Your calling is going to take seasons and hours of great preparation. And the last thing I want to say to you, become an expert on your assignment. Once you find out what it is, how many of y'all know that's like 4 endings right there? That's like 4 last points I just made right there. Become an expert on your assignment. Become an expert on your assignment. Turn to somebody and say, become an expert on your assignment. 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved. It says, study, church, to show yourself approved. A workman that needeth not be ashamed. Study to show yourself approved. Become an expert on your assignment, right? Become the best in your field. Amen? Let me ask you a question. Do you have any magazines that you get on what you do? And I understand we don't really read magazines anymore. We got the internet and all that. Amen? I get it. But do you find out what anybody else in your world does? Do you ever check out the competition? Huh? Do you? I do. What can I learn from other churches? What works? What don't work? What do we do? What do they do? I'm not a know-it-all. I'm not a know-it-all. Can I tell you, once you become a know-it-all and you think you become a know-it-all and you think you know it all, you're already on the decline. When you become a know-it-all and you think you know everything, you're already on the decline, church. Amen? Still doing the same old stuff. Why don't you learn from some other people who are more successful than you are? Amen? Become an expert at your assignment. What is it that God has called you to do? Become an expert at it. And the Bible says this in Proverbs 18:16. It says, a man's gift will make room for him. You see that? You study to show yourself approved. And it says right there that a man's gift will make room for him. You may be a secret. Nobody may not even know who you are. Come on, church. You keep filling yourself with knowledge. You keep filling yourself with the Word of God. You keep pursuing the assignments that God has given you. You keep pursuing the things that you love. You keep pursuing the things that bother you. You keep pursuing what your assignment is to do something. Guys, listen to me. To do something about all of that stuff. The stuff that bothers you. The stuff you love. The stuff that grieves you. And once you do that, you get so full of this word right here. Amen. You get so full of that word right there. And then that call on your life. It said a person's gift will make room for him. You'll just get a phone call. An opportunity will come. And it'll just drop right out of nowhere. Amen. The most inopportune moment. You know, you won't believe that you had that opportunity come at you. But it's prepared people. Oh, come on. I said it's prepared people. It's not lucky people. Oh, you just so lucky. No, I'm not lucky. I'm prepared. It's prepared people. It's prepared people. There's a big difference. What if a huge opportunity in your field came tomorrow? What if something happened and this huge opportunity in your field came tomorrow? Are you prepared for it? You prepare it. And God said, as long as there's vessels, I can keep pouring out. Amen. Listen, But when you think you're full, when you're full, God says, I can't pour any more on you. Everybody say, I'm unique. God has his hand on my life. He called me from my mother's womb. I have an assignment from heaven. I'm not going to let people's faces, funny faces, mean faces, Facebooks. Oh, come on, church. God has given you an assignment, and he does not want you scared. He does not want you intimidated this morning. He has not given me a spirit of fear. Come on and declare that this morning. He has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power of love.